And today we'll be looking at the word itself, thanksgiving. We'll be looking at what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We'll be looking at thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You know, one thing about thanksgiving is that it's something we hear over, we say to ourselves, we admonish ourselves. Everybody that that's been alive has probably heard that word at some point or the other. Amen. So I'm not talking about something that is strange to us. But there are some things I want us to look at today as, you know, in the matter of the time that we have as well. First of all, thanksgiving is a form of worship. Now, worship itself transcends thanksgiving. Actually, worship is your life. You know, worship is your life. And there are many things that you do with your life that bring worship to God. For example, obedience is a form of worship. Obedience is a form of worship. But thanksgiving is also a form of what? Of worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanksgiving is a form of worship. God expects that we understand that in our relationship with Him, thanksgiving is one of the topics. There are many other things that God would discuss with you. For example, God will want you to pray. God will want you to intercede. God will want you to get someone born again. And all these things could be wrapped up in a life of obedience. But aside from what you do with your life, God also expects that your life is marinated. You know, if you are someone that has cooked before, you know, or you've eaten a very sweet chicken before, they marinated it. They marinated, meaning they put some things there that spiced it or made it sweet or enjoyable. You know, thanksgiving is something that your life is marinated with or by. So it's a form of worship that makes us presentable to God. Actually, all forms of worship make you presentable to God. The highest form of worship is obedience. But thanksgiving is also a form of worship that makes you presentable to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are four things we quickly have to settle when we are talking about thanksgiving. One, you have to acknowledge the person you are thanking in three ways. You have to acknowledge his person, his nature. And you also have to acknowledge his patterns. So I said there are four things we need to acknowledge when we're talking about thanksgiving. The first out of the four is the person you are thanking. And in this case, or in our own case, it's God. People thank, we thank ourselves, right? We idol worshippers thank the idols they worship. You thank your parents for whatever they've done. Some of you even thank them for the one they didn't do. Trying to remind them that they didn't do it. But in the case of God, we acknowledge his person, his nature, and his patterns. So when you say his person and his nature, that's what Pastor Nu taught us in the morning. God is good. You know, it was this morning I found that, you know, when Jesus said they should not call him good master, he was just whining them. It was this morning I saw again that he said he's the good shepherd. I said, this is Jesus self. Eh? And I told myself, maybe he doesn't like people telling him that he's the good, that he wants to tell himself, I'm the good shepherd. Don't tell me I'm the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You know, he said, nobody's good except the Father. Now, he says, I'm the good shepherd again. So his person, his nature, his patterns. Now, his patterns are also his ways. For example, you know the way he dealt with the people of Israel, or the way he dealt with the patriarch in the Old Testament, or the way he dealt with the apostles in the New Testament, or the way he dealt with the early church, or the way he dealt with our fathers in the faith, alive and those that are resting or that have transited to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So we first of all acknowledge. I mean, you have to acknowledge that there's someone you are thanking. You can't express thanksgiving void of a person. You know, you can't say I'm thanking nothing. Now, there has to be that you are thanking something or someone or somebody. But in our own case here, we are thanking God, but we are acknowledging his person. We are acknowledging his nature. His nature is good always. All the things that he created, we acknowledge to be good. That's his nature. You wouldn't come to him and meet him doing anything bad. And this is what, you know, a lot of the people that raise arguments against the things happening in the world versus he who created the world. These are our own truth, that we understand that it's not what's happening in the world that defines him. Everything he decides to do, we know how the world got to where it is. So it's not like you are ignorant. So when the person says, oh, how would you say that there's a God that loves me and he wants me to go to hell? It's because you don't understand even how all of those things came to happen. He didn't even create it for you in the first place. He created it for the devil and his angels. But he says that if you don't believe me, you are condemned already. And if you are condemned, you would have your path in the lake. And so his patterns, his ways. You know, Moses enjoyed these three. He knew the person of God, the nature of God, and the patterns of God. Now, the children of Israel only got familiar with his patterns or his ways. And that's why the Bible says Moses knew my ways, and the children of Israel knew my acts. So we have to acknowledge the person that we are thanking. We know he's a great God. We know he's the one that is ever present in time of need. Now, the second thing we have to acknowledge, or we have to quickly note when we are saying thanksgiving, is that thanksgiving, the act of thanksgiving, allows us to remember, to count, to name, and to recall his previous doings. So when you say you are going through thanksgiving, it's an opportunity for you to recall what God has done. Now, you can't thank God void of. So you can say, Father, I thank you. I thank you. No. And which will take me to another point, but let me just not rush. You know, God wants us to identify, count, recall. Now, it's not a good thing to forget. So when God has done something for you, and when you come to thank God, you say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, no, no. You are not giving thanks that way. Thanksgiving is that you are able to recall, that you are able to remember. That's why it says, he that slain the Egypt for our sake. He that delivered us from the mouth of the lion. You know, in the case of David, he said, he that made me to slay what? The bear and the lion. That, because when he was to face Goliath, he first of all entered the mode of what? Thanksgiving. Jesus said, I thank you because you always hear me. That's his thanksgiving. Yeah. That God hears him. That's why he's thanking God. So you can't just say thank you. Thank you. They're asking for what? For what? So thanksgiving, you know, the act of thanksgiving brings us to that place where we can count the blessings, name them one by one. Now, it's a bad thing not to, like, to look through the year and you can't remember anything God has done. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the third one is to acknowledge the mightiness of God compared to the obvious and current challenges. That's the opportunity of Thanksgiving. When we are going through Thanksgiving, it gives us the privilege to esteem God above our problems, to esteem God above the obvious, what we see. And as a child of God, there are moments in your life that your Thanksgiving is that you are esteeming the mightiness of God above the current challenges. You're saying, this thing is here, but God is great. This thing is there, but God heals. Because I know his patterns. He is a healer. I know his nature. Whenever he gets to a place, he desires to heal people. So Thanksgiving helps us to what? To esteem, you know, to acknowledge the mightiness of God above current challenges. Above current challenges. So when you go through Thanksgiving, you have the opportunity to quickly look at your problem and say, God is great. God is greater than this. God is greater than this. God is bigger than this. God, I thank you because you are true, even though there's a lie here. And then the fourth thing to clean note about Thanksgiving, or the act of Thanksgiving, is that we join the rest of creation. It will shock you that everything that God created has a responsibility to send back praise to him and worship to him. Everything that is created. Now, we might not have discovered how all of creation is doing that. But Bible even recorded that even the leaves on the tree. Can we look for that scripture? Let's read it. You know, it says the firmament. Those ones, they know how to give him praise. Firmament. The clouds. Can you find it? If you can't find it, it's okay. Amen.
Amen.
So we join the rest of creation. We are not the only ones that were created. Every other thing that was created has a form of practicing Thanksgiving. You know, let's quickly look at the word Thanksgiving itself. You know, Thanksgiving was derived from, or it's the word in Hebrew, toda, or toda. No, it's toda. If it's toda, there will be a stretch there. T-O-D-A-H. And that word was, or is derived from the word yada. Now, when they say yada, they're saying you cast, you throw, you give. Now, I think we are too used to the word thanksgiving that we lose. There's an act there called giving. So that's why when the wise men came to visit Jesus, that act of bringing a gift, giving a gift for welcoming Jesus to earth, is they giving thanks. So thanksgiving is also giving thanks. But I prefer we use the word giving thanks, because giving quickly comes to our mind first. Or it means to confess. Or to give thanks. So when we look at Thanksgiving, there's an act, there's a person, there's an attitude. We'll get to the attitude. You know, many a times when you say you want to give thanks, the question, what are you giving? And that's why it's not out of place when we're having Thanksgiving and we bring a special offering for Thanksgiving. It's not out of place. It's that you are giving something, appreciating giver, actually. So Thanksgiving is you giving something to the giver. So that's why it's not good that you forgot that he gave. And then you're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. No. Many a times when you're even in that place where you're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, you're not giving anything. Because God, first of all, wants you to acknowledge that he is the giver. And then you can remember what he gave by recounting and recollecting the things he has done. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read some scriptures and then we would. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Again. No, no, it's not this. Rejoice always. Okay. Go ahead, please. Pray without ceasing. In everything, do what?
Amen.
For what? So rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now you have to be careful to quickly attribute this statement to an attitude we need to have without cause. No. You know, this is not like a blackmail. That in everything, give thanks. It's not a blackmail that you don't have a reason not to give thanks. Let me try and look for how best there's a way I want to explain this. So when he says in everything, give thanks, he's saying that God in everything is giving something in everything. So he's not saying that in everything, whether you see God show up or not, give thanks. No. In everything. Because his nature is consistent. His person is consistent. His patterns are consistent. So he's admonishing you that God is always showing up in everything. Your own responsibility that you just give thanks in everything. Because he is doing something in everything. So it's not a blackmail that whether you see God come true or not, you don't have a choice. No, he's not saying you don't have a choice. It's not a blackmail. That if you don't give thanks, you will die. No, he's saying that in everything, he is giving something. So you give thanks. Just for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when we are told to give thanks, you know, the discipline you have to quickly have is, let me quickly start recollecting all he has given, all he has done. So he's not giving thanks void of the giver. No. He has given, in some he has given life. In some case, he has given health. In some case, he has intervened miraculously.
Yes. Yes.
Can we look at Philippians chapter 4 from verse 4 to 7? Thank you, Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. See, if you understand what it means by the Lord is at hand, it simply means the Lord is doing something. Maybe we can read this in another version, but let's read through to 7. Then you can maybe go to maybe NIV, or maybe you can do my PEV. Be anxious for nothing. He says again, but in everything. Now, when he says he's anxious for nothing, it means everything that you have a need of, God is doing something about it. So, you know, all the scriptures, they're not to blackmail you. You know, I always say something that when you are experiencing something that is not looking like God, address it. Don't join the people and say, Oluwaseunla, and he has not, you can't actually name Oula Kokon. Yeah, you are meant to say, God, which onla are you doing? Don't just join the crowd. No, that's being insincere. is being insincere. It says in everything by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The last verse there, then you can maybe switch it to maybe NLT or NIV. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Let's quickly do 4 to 7 in another version. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Can you see the reason for the thanksgiving? Now, remember, there's this one we always say. And Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you are here to do. No, you have to pray with understanding. If you are saying thank you for what you are here to do, it's because you know he's about to do something. See, don't live a frustrated life. Don't. That's the least thing God wants for us. You can always ask, God, what are you about to do? So I can thank you for what you are about to do. And if God says, Philebe, Father, thank you for what you have, Philebe. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. The last verse. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said we give thanks because he gave. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So you can thank him for salvation because he gave. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So you can thank him for what? For peace. Now let's quickly look at the relationship between rejoicing and thanksgiving. Rejoicing and thanksgiving. Rejoicing is the attitude of giving thanks. Now, you can't give thanks void of rejoicing. Okay, let's move over and say this. You can't give anything to God without rejoicing. So, for thanks, you can't give, God won't receive your thanks if it is done grudgingly or is done without joy. How many of you know that scripture that says God loves a what? It's only money. You people know that, you know. We have called God the joy giver, the joy giver. No, no. Anything you will give to him, including thanks, must be done cheerfully. So when you are telling people, thank God, and people are squeezing. No, no, no. No. There must be joy for thanks to be routed to him. That's why it says rejoice always. Because you are in a state where your thanks can reach God. So when there is joy and you give thanks, then it's acceptable. When there's joy and then you act in thanksgiving, it's acceptable. But when there's no joy and you try to act in thanksgiving, it won't be accepted. So rejoicing is the attitude when giving thanks. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, if you have any sort of thanks to give, it must be done without grudge or without force. So when God says we should give thanks, and you know, the state of rejoicing is a state where your heart is filled with the memories of his doings. No, he's not happy. He's not happy. Happy is momentary. Something just happened. Now, you can be happy and joyful at the same time. But God is not saying just be happy. He's saying we can stay in joy. And staying in joy is that you are able to remember all his doings. You are able to bring to your memory what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will yet do. This rejoicing is also what we call joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You can't give thanks if you are not practicing joy in the Holy Ghost, which is also rejoicing. I mean, rejoicing, joy, joyful, joy in the Holy Ghost, all in the same box. They are all in the same box. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Go to the next verse. For God is a consuming fire. I don't think this is where I wanted to read. Maybe I'll come back there. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18-20. Let me look for what I wanted to read there. And I wrote 12:28 here. Maybe it's 18. Come again. Oh, what version is that? Okay, please. Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I missed the version. What version is that again?
NIV.
Okay. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom. So you can see again that it's because God is giving something. That's why you are thanking him. So he says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. That's the second time. With reverence and what? Awe. He says, let us be thankful. Because we are receiving from he who has given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18-20. Thanksgiving is to cast your crown. Is to give. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Doing what?
Giving thanks always.
For all things to God. See, if the only thing we're getting out of here is that you are giving thanks because he has given. And we have to recall all he has given. We have to recall his goodness. We have to recall his mighty, wondrous acts. Let's go to Psalm 107, and I think we can read. I think we read it in the first service. We can read it again. Well, we'll just read just 3 verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good. For his mercy endures forever. So because God revealed his goodness to you, you should give thanks to him. Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 3. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't just want us to know that God is worthy of our praise or God is worthy of our thanksgiving, but I want us to be in a state that we are grateful. Because you can be An extreme is that you are on the side of God deserves our praises and worship, but you are not grateful. You're not grateful. No, you're saying, at least I don't want to be the odd one out. And it's not, God is not even saying, you know, the way they whine us that, to give thanks, particularly when worship leaders are coming up. Those things are not necessary. You know, we don't do that one here. If you don't want to worship God, get out. If you want to worship God, stay in. You get like, anytime. The thing is, has he done anything for you? Then give thanks. Because if he has done something for you, your own responsibility is to give thanks for he has shown you goodness. For he has given you a kingdom that is unshakable. For some of you, he has given you a home you didn't plan for. He's giving you a wife you didn't plan for. Yeah, like a wedding that we're doing this week. Abi Tayo, did you plan for it? Can you give thanks? They know Tayo now. You didn't need to bring. They know Tayo. The way you brought it out again, it can distract the message. And so we would, you know, for some of us, it's journey mercies. Yes. It's journey mercies. You know, for some of us, it's that the doctor's report was, they made a mockery of it. Like, doctors wrote their report. God also wrote his report. Yes. That's why I said, whose report will you believe?
Yes.
Because God took the right report. It says, whose report are you going to believe? Many, many victories. Many victories. You know, at times, if God helps us to see the extent of what he's doing, our heart will quake, meaning you like an earthquake would happen in your heart because it's beyond imagination at times. You know, one thing I know God is doing for us in this local assembly, many things, but one thing I know is godly homes. Like we can't count how the things that happened to them in the world could have happened to us. I mean, the things that happened to the marriages in the world. Even the things that happen because people are together. Because people are together, there's always trouble. Because where you left your kerchief, that's not where you meet it. Because people are just together, there's always trouble. Even the willingness to just be obedient to God's word, that willingness that God gave to us is worthy of all thanksgiving. I mean, if you wake up today and you say you are no longer willing, we can't do anything about it, though. Like, if you just wake up one morning and say, you don't want to be a child of God again. Oh, my appeal to you, my beg you. But after a while, we just find that, this one is Demaso. There's nothing we can do to this one. But that you can express the willingness God put in your heart by all the things you're able to do is worthy of all thanksgiving. See, if we were to write our own story, like they give us a blank canvas to write our story, you know this is not what you are going to write. You know, for some of us, God gave us a story that is beyond what the devil has written concerning us. I'm a living testimony of this is what devil, this is the story he planned out. And this is the story God what planned out. You know, David is one man that is able to always recall what God has done. Maybe that was his cheat code of obtaining more victories. You know, Solomon, his son, plugged into it. He offered numerous sacrifices and God came to him. And even if God didn't come to him, that his sacrifice was accepted is enough blessing. And we can see it in Psalms, how, you know, they want us to understand that giving thanks to God is even how you come into his presence. It says, enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. And to his courts with what? With praise. So you can see no moody person has ever entered God's presence. It's a lie. You didn't enter. It wasn't God's presence you entered. Maybe you stayed at the firmament. They said, enter into his courts with praise. They even said, know that he is what? He is good. His mercy is what? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless him. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So you can see that he's saying that he's consistent with you, even with you. It's not on you that God failed. No. See, there will not be a man that will say, God is faithful to everybody, but it's me that he chose not to be faithful. So when we're told to give thanks, or when we're in that act of thanksgiving, rejoicing must be the temperature of our heart. See, if there's no joy in your heart, don't stress. Maybe you should pray for joy first. Because you won't enter a gate. They won't open the gate for you. You know how in the Old Testament, the way they do it is they sing. This one is sing and dancing. That's why we sing and dance in joy. You know, at times you've tried to wonder, and me too, I've also tried to wonder at times, because if you look at the way we practice Christianity, even at times when you look at maybe the Catholic, they will look at how these people they're just Pentecostal, no? A Pentecostal, just gallivanting up and down. You know, they do just sing him. But there's so, see, if that hymn is not giving you joy, you are not entering anywhere. But if the hymn is giving you joy, like the way we sang joy to the world, yeah, imagine singing joy to the world and there's no joy in the heart. Joy to the world. No. So however, so what we do that you see as the physical activity is we creating joy. Now, we ensure that you don't move from joy to the flesh. Now, when you're alantai, your leg is already up. No, that one is not joy again. That one is not joy again. Me, I don't believe in that we are creating joy will not mean that every Latin song will not put Jesus in front of it. Then that's how we are creating joy. No, it's not that one. I don't understand that one. Or maybe the keyboardist will now press one of the tune. Maybe it's the one that says, focus, you know, see, that day, you will know that we have cane in children's church. I promise you, I'll carry cane. Me. Because that morning, I would have studied the way Jesus flogged them in the synagogue. Was it two or one each? Yeah. Because we know our boundary. We know our boundary. When would they even say rejoice? Nigbaya letting the other boy rejoice. No. When it says rejoice, we know the boundary. We know that we are to create joy in the heart, not for the flesh. But we have to create the joy. Because the joy is the temperature that the altar needs. So whatsoever we put on the altar of sacrifice, joy. And that's why you can't give even your offering without joy. Don't bring your offering when there's no joy in your heart. That's what I say, he likes a cheerful giver. So there must be joy with any of your relationship with God. You're giving something to God, you're giving an offering, you're giving a seed, you are. If it's grudgingly, nah, don't worry. Just stop being yourself. So even with thanksgiving, and that's why when we need to be in the to create the atmosphere of thanksgiving, there has to be joy. And that's why times, maybe at least I've seen that one, not once or twice. If Papi say, okay, let's thank God, give us a song to thank God. Ah, I now hear, you know, one of those our songs. Our songs of consecration. Ah, Papi say, Otio, no. And then the way Papi will not say it again, that we all laugh. No. We are not coming into your altar. No. There's a way Papi will say it, we will laugh. And then the person will look for, I tell you, the person might even look for another song. Say, you know. We are not cutting off our head. And then we now find. And at times, that's why when you see the choir, at times we just say, you go and sing the danceable song. They've planned themselves. Because there are different ways to deliver. So when we need to bring thanks to God, there's an act of giving, and the attitude of that act is rejoicing. It's rejoicing. If you are leading a group of people and you say, let's thank God, and there's no joy, stop. Stop. Don't waste. You guys are not entering anywhere. You are not entering his gates. Most likely, you guys will stay at the outer court to make all your requests known. Because what goes on in his presence is the casting of crowns. That's why he spoke about the 24 elders. What happens in his presence, they practice this thanksgiving. They cast their crown. They cast their crown. They see what he's giving them, because he's in his presence is light. No, don't let us go into those sardine stone. These ones, no, don't worry. But in his presence, what they behold, they are seeing a lot coming from him. And then what they can do is to cast their crown. Cast their crown. Cast their crown. He says the 24 elders. I said, you should not go there. You went there. Don't worry. Don't go there. They cast their crown. That's what happens in his presence. So if you're not coming with joy, you can't cast anything there. You most likely will be a thief. So they will most likely not even open the gate. So, but when they know that the temperature of your heart, that's why you say, you know, when they say, you are doing like this, because you're saying, accept me and my sacrifice. It's because you are bringing something. That means we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of God. That's our song. So you can see that we give thanks because he gave. We understand that thanksgiving helps us to acknowledge his person, his nature, and his patterns. God is consistent. Thanksgiving helps us to recall, recount, to remember, remind ourselves, and to name our blessings one by one. Okay, God did this in January. God did this in February. God did this in November. Thanksgiving helps us to join the host. You know, they are the host of angels that they are just praising him. Even the rest of the creation on this earth, they are praising him. Can you look for that place where he talked about the firmament? I think it's in Psalms as well. You know, I'll read Psalm 119 here. Why will you look for that? It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright, in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wondrous work to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the earth. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandment. His praise endureth forever. Where's that fragment? Did you find it? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his firmament. It's not this one. I want my Bible. It's a projector. Don't project us out of. The heaven declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Thank you. So we have the opportunity to join the rest of what? Of creation. See, any time you say, Father, I thank you for this, you have also joined the rest of the people, the rest of the animals, the rest of the trees, the rest of the heavens of the heavens, the firmament, the clouds, the everything that God has created, that he has embedded the ability to what? To give worship back to him. Bible says we're made for his pleasure. One pleasure is that we're able to give thanks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we just thank you, Jesus?
Amen.
But I want us to take it a step further. I want us to recall things. I don't just want us to say, thank you, Jesus, and everything goes void. I'll give us about just 5 minutes. No, 5 minutes is even too much. 30 seconds. Think of, you know, that our song says, you know, when I think of the goodness of God and all he has done for me. You know, I want you to first of all think. Then we'll now say, thank you, Jesus. Then you begin to now name things that is worthy of giving him thanks back. That is worthy of you laying down your crown. You acting and what? And throwing yourself, saying that, God, you gave this, I thank you. You did this, I thank you. You did that, I thank you. You saved me from hell. You know, there are some of us today, without salvation, it's even all of us. We are destined for hell. We are destined for doom. If he had not given his son, there won't be remission for our sins. And so now I want us to begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You can lift your hands if you want to lift your hands. You can kneel down if you want to kneel down. You can lie down on the rug if you want to lie down. Let thanksgiving sincerely go from your heart. You can't in everything give thanks, because in all that pertains to you, life and godliness, he has loaded you with daily benefit. This your life, you couldn't have run it yourself. Even if you were given the privilege, it won't turn out to be this. Can we acknowledge the greatness and the mightiness of God? He has given you a family. Children you didn't plan for. He has not left you in a world of dreams and imagination, but he has brought to pass all he has said concerning you. Oh, Rabadi Shakapaya. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Oh, Jesus.
Please ensure you are mentioning things. Ensure you are mentioning things. Ensure you are mentioning things. Take the honor. Take the privilege. to name your blessing, to count them one by one. Oh, this year alone, we took deliveries every month. We took deliveries every month. They should probably even come and ask us, do we have anything here that makes delivery possible or even conceiving possible? Last year, we were doing marriages almost every month. And God is not done with us. God is not done with us. It is here we've heard of promotions. It is here we've heard of breakthroughs. It is here we have heard the things that have taken lives of many. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our nation, Nigeria. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that we don't have a reason to be at war. Thank you for the relative peace we enjoy. Thank you for the things that could have thrown a nation into chaos. That is not our lot. That is not our portion. Thank you that we can dream, we can aspire, we can move freely. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my business. Thank you for my career. Thank you for my work. Thank you for my ministry. Thank you for the souls I have saved this year. Oh, thank you for the opportunity of the outreaches. Thank you for every prayer that have been prayed, that have been answered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For all these things and more, have we given thanks? In Jesus' mighty name, have we given thanks? Can we rise up on our feet? You can also rise on your feet. You don't have any reason to sit. Thank you, Father. As a people, we thank you for this assembly. Thank you that we are not scavengers roaming about as though they are sheep without a shepherd. Thank you that you have put the solitary in families. And we too can say, here we have a family. Some of us didn't even plan it this way. Some of us thought we're going to just be jumping from one place to the other. We thank you for this family that you've given to us. It is even here some of us found our identity, our purpose, and our calling. Some of us didn't know we were destined for greatness until we were joined to this house. Some of us didn't know that we had graces on our lives until they were called forth, until they were stirred up, until they were fanned to flame. Some of us didn't know that we can even enjoy a peaceable home. The best we imagined was that we wouldn't have a divorce. But we can't even imagine that, because what we are experiencing is way beyond that. From our wells and bowels of peace, we are even giving others. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for our marriages. Thank you that we've not had a cause to separate. Thank you that we've not had cause to run from pillar to post trying to put a house together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our children. Thank you for the journey mercies you grant to every one of them. Well, they go to school and those that are at home in the cares of nannies. Father, we've not had cause to be looking for a child. We've not had cause to go report at the police station that one of our children is missing. We've not had a cause to, for them to even be in our care and they are kidnapped. The people of the world report this. We see this in the news. Recently, I read of a place where they said people are kidnapped and locked up. We know these things are happening. And we can really say 1,000 is falling at our right and 10,000 at our left. But none of these things have come near us. Father, we are grateful. We are so grateful, Father. In this house, you have joined man and woman. You have caused new homes to be birthed. In this house, you've made things prosper in our hands. Rather than celebrating death, we are rather celebrating life. Our young ones you've preserved. Our old ones you've preserved. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful for even our nation. A lot of people would always say the things that easily plunge countries into civil war and into chaos, they stresslessly happen here. We know you are the one upholding Nigeria with the word of your mouth. We know our politicians are not even intending to do that. Thank you for your desire that is continually poured over this nation. You said Nigeria is at the trigger as a gun where you would reach out to nations even in Africa and even around the world. Thank you that your promise and your prophecies over this nation still remain. Thank you for our fathers in the faith. Thank you for our father in the Lord, Pastor Lockley Zachariah. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his family. Thank you for his wife, Pastor Adesola Zachariah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the spiritual covering that we have. Thank you for the protection that we've enjoyed from this covering. Thank you for direction that we've enjoyed from this covering. Thank you for the work in Europe that is being done and is prospering. We are seeing it with our own eyes. Thank you for the first SOD that happened in UK. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are grateful. We wouldn't be on mind, we wouldn't be forgetful to know what you are doing. And that is why we have even recollected some. And Father, we commit ourselves into your hand. Everyone here and those joining us online and those that couldn't be here, that is household, shall be great.
Amen.
This house that you have destined for greatness shall be great.
Amen.
Every man and woman here, every child here, everyone that God has plucked to this vine, everyone will bear fruit.
Amen.
None that has been plucked to this vine would have a reason to be plucked out.
Amen.
Everyone that has been joined to this vine, the nourishment that has made the vine valid and legit this far will make your life prosper.
Amen.
You know, I lay a demand on the calling and the graces of God in this vine that has even been made manifest in Pastor Lockley Zachariah, that the graces of God will make way for you.
Amen.
The grace of God that is beyond what man can explain.
Even
in the few days that we have left in this year, you would have every reason to testify. Even at this time, we see that doors that are yet to be opened and that have been destined to be opened, we declare them flung open. Every door that is expected and its time is due, that by the reason of our acknowledgement of every good work, our faith becomes effectual. Yeah. We have acknowledged every good work. And so when we say to the mountain, be moved, it will be moved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go and prosper. Go and do the great things you were destined for. Go and be the man and the woman God has destined you to be. Go and wrought miracles in the places God has sent you to. Go and be the light God has made you. Go and be the salt that God has made you. Let everything in your hand prosper. Amen. Let every endeavor you embark on, let them prosper. Amen. Let your name and the reputation that God has given to you, and backed by his signs and his wonders, let men proclaim this at the rooftop. Amen. This house shall be great. Amen. This house shall be great. Amen. This house shall be great. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We're so grateful. We are thankful as well. Your name be highly exalted. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.